Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road. And that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. Wow. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses.
Hello there, it's All-Ireland Final Week, the culmination of a summer of thrills and spills, of joy and heartbreak on the hurling field. Now it's down to a straight clash between Tipperary and Kilkenny. My name is Des Cahill, you're very welcome to the RTE GAA podcast. This week I'm joined as usual by my colleague Peter Sweeney from RTE Online Sport, Cork Hurling's Don Lowe Cusack, Kilkenny's Jackie Tyrrell, and the only man whose 18th birthday I remember with absolute glee, it's the chief sports writer of the Irish Independent, Vincent Hogan. But that's for a different podcast. Today, it's all about the hurling final. And Jackie Tyrrell, can I start with you? I was reading that Noel McGrath of Tipperary is going to play his seventh final on Sunday. That includes one replay. And he's never played anyone else but Kilkenny. Given there is so much familiarity, is it accurate to say, and is it amazing, that the games have never really boiled over?
Yeah, it's probably a fair comment. They probably threatened a few times on boiling over in a few years, but I suppose you're going to get that threat when you have two rivals going at it and there's such familiarity. But outside of the hurling, like, we're neighbouring counties. We've all more or less gone to... I went to college with Conor O'Mahony, Shane McGrath. Tommy was down in Cork with a few lads. JJ was with Paul Curran and Water IT. So that familiarity, you know, no one ever wanted to give an inch. It almost breeded contempt at some times. And growing up and being told about the rivalry of Kilkenny and Tip, it was always going to be fierce and intense. But, you know, behind it all, there's a deep down line respect for each other. They're serious about their hurling, as are we. And we've had some great battles over the years, and it's a rivalry that continues to deliver very rarely. I can't even remember of any game that was very poor in standard or intensity, whether it was a first round of a league or an All-Ireland final or a qualifier, and even probably some of the best games, Des, were league finals. We've had some amazing league finals that went to extra time. So it's just a rivalry that keeps on giving.
What was your favourite one of those league finals?
I would say the one... I don't remember the year, but it was around the time that Brian was absent for a while. He had to go get a procedure, and it was in Nolan Park, and we were really back to the wall stuff. Went to extra time. Martin Fogarty was the manager at the time, and it was almost like we were doing it for Brian, all that he had done and continued to do for us, and he wasn't there on the sideline, and he was probably at home in his bed watching it, and it was just a very emotional one that I always got the feeling afterwards that he was looking at the telly with pride, going, you know, that's his team that he's formed, and that we could actually do something for him.
One other question on that: it's hard for me to imagine Brian Cody just sitting relaxed watching the match at home. Is that a misconception on my part?
Well, I suppose he was probably laid up, considering what he was going through. So the doctors probably had to force him to stay in the bed. But that would be a job and a half in itself. But it was the one time that he was absent from the team, and it was a kind of a weird experience not seeing him and looking over to the sideline and seeing Brian there with the pea cap and the fist clenched, and you know, he hitting every ball with us, and he was absent that day. So it was kind of a weird from that point of view. But it was nice to be able to, you know, to get the win, and probably when we were back to the wall a little.
Yeah. Vincent Hogan, I mean, you have a Tip background yourself, obviously, but Brian Cody in yet another All-Ireland final, and we're kind of living through it, so probably we don't fully appreciate it. It's possible that only when we look back on his achievements we'll appreciate fully what he has achieved.
I think it's borderline outrageous. I really do. I think the man is... We've been talking about him as a legend for the last decade or more, but if he pulls this off, and I mean, even the fact that Kilkenny are in the final, coming from where they were coming, you know, it's funny, with the Independent, we did a live podcast down in Hotel Kilkenny before the quarterfinal against Cork, and one of the questions I was asked from the floor was, is it time for Cody to go? You know, even in Kilkenny, nobody really saw them beating Cork in that quarterfinal, and I remember saying that I thought it was an outrageous question, given what he'd achieved. But also the fact that last year, with a completely patched-up team, they won the league. When Richie Hogan got the goal against Limerick in the quarterfinal in Thurles, you thought, they're going to pull this off as well. And that was with a completely patched-up team. And what he's done here, you know, coming back from the Leinster final defeat, I think it's an extraordinary achievement.
Yeah, you know, Des, I love me stats. This is his 18th All-Ireland final. That's ridiculous. Mm. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's including two draws, obviously, and he's won 11 of those. We will never see the likes of this again. And as Vincent says, he had the greatest team in history, and that kind of, they broke up after 2015, I suppose. There's a few lads hanging around that were there before, like TJ Reid and Walter Walsh and a few others. But by and large, he's building a whole new team here. And if he wins another All-Ireland, it's a remarkable achievement. But it could be the start of another team that goes on to win several other All-Irelands. If he adds to what he already has, there aren't superlatives to talk about Brian Cody, but if he adds more...
It's actually funny, Des. I was looking at the archives there recently, and the day they beat Cork in the 2006 final, which was kind of the platform for the greatest Kilkenny team we've ever seen.
Stopped Cork's three in a row.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it was just the ferocity of Kilkenny that day in 06. But if you look at the quotes from Brian Cody afterwards, it's very much our setup was being written off. And the people who did that can change their tune now. There was a defiance in Cody after that game. I think Noel Hickey was being called too slow on that, and he brought up that in the post-match press conference as well. And it's funny to think that day that they did that, Liam Sheedy oversaw the Tip minor team with Brendan Maher and Paddy Maher that won the minor match that day. And there's a kind of a symmetry at play here that, the following year, Declan Ryan managed the Tip Miners to win another All-Ireland. And from those two minor teams came the spine of the Tip team that eventually challenged this great Kilkenny team. And you know, we were talking about league finals there. The key league final of them all was in 09, when Tip were coming back from a 17 points defeat in Nolan Park a few weeks earlier. And they just had to stand up to Kilkenny that day. And the ferocity of that game, it went to extra time. Kilkenny won it. But I think Jackie says in his book that it felt like a moral win for Tip because they actually stood up to Kilkenny's ferocity that day. That was as ferocious a league final as I've ever seen.
Well, speaking of ferocity, let's bring in Donal Cusack, who experienced the Kilkenny ferocity. That 06 final, Donal, obviously you were playing for Cork, going for the three in a row. What are your memories of that?
Yeah, obviously it was a bit... big opportunity for us, Des. But I remember that, you know, Kilkenny were, I think there was a kind of a change in their approach, definitely in that final. They made our running game and transition game very difficult. I remember even from a Puckout's point of view that their setup had been was more consistently different than previous years. And whilst there was, you know, I think it was a goal in it, in the difference. I think I'd agree with what was said there previously that it was, and it was a pivotal moment as well, probably for both of those sides. We had stopped Kilkenny going for three in a row in 2004, and then we went on a very good run, but they were absolutely deserving winners in 2006, and the rest is history, as we've said. But I'd agree with those comments about Brian Cody. Like, his leadership has been outstanding, and I think even if you look at within this year alone, like, there was Vincent is talking about the question marks about him before the him being asked questions down in Kilkenny before the Cork game. Like, the Leinster Championship, you could have said that Kilkenny had beaten, I think they'd beaten Dublin and Carlow. They'd drawn with Wexford. So going into that quarter final, they were the two teams that they had won. But ever since that, like, they were outstanding, absolutely dominated Cork. And after the early parts of that game, almost looked like rejuvenated. And then in the semi-final, especially in that first quarter, they absolutely blew Limerick out of the way. And I would say that right throughout the season, and especially post-Leinster, they seem to be getting better and better. And a lot of that has to go down to the leadership of Brian Cody.
Jackie, how can you explain that turnabout from a poor Leinster championship, I think it's fair to say, certainly not hugely impressive, to the performance we saw against Cork and that ferocity that we saw in the first 20 minutes against Limerick?
Yeah, well, I think the Cork game was very important, Des. And, you know, if you looked at that game after 12, 13 minutes, if you looked up at the setup of Kilkenny, if you looked at how the game was developing, they were in serious trouble. Their half-back line was too high up the field. There was quality ball going into huge portions of space, and Alan Cadogan and Patrick Horgan were causing wreck and possibly could have had another goal and another couple of scores. And if that was the case, it could have been game over. But, you know, Conor Fogarty drops back a little deeper. Pádraig Welsh drops back a little deeper, protects that space. A ball goes into the corner that, you know, if they don't drop back and cover it off, well, Alan Cadogan is on it. But no, Conor Fogarty's there, picks it up, looks up the line, pops it to John Donnelly, who's half forward at the time, probably 50 yards from his own goal. He turns around, gives it up to Adrian Mullen, who's probably in the middle of the field, who's corner forward at that stage. He hits the ball into Colin Finlay and they get a goal. And that sparks him into life. But it was more the change of the shape of the team. The half-back line was dropping back. The half-forward line and John Donnelly and TJ was starting to drop back the field. Adrian Mullen had come from corner forward to half-forward. So they were creating space inside. They were flooding that middle third. And when you go into the trenches in the middle third and go toe-to-toe with Kilkenny, there's no one better when it comes to the intensity stakes. You know, they set the barometer for it. And that's where the big change in this team was. You know, when you play Wexford, it's so, as regards space, it's so erratic. The game plan goes out the window. But I think against Cork, that suited Kilkenny when you know, and when you go into the middle third, you've the likes of TJ dropping in there. Conor Brown was very influential that day. John Donnelly started dropping there. And from that day is when they got that win, they got huge success. They got huge confidence from it. And then they were brought on to the All-Ireland champions, not really given much of a chance. And that is when Brian Cody's at his most dangerous. When he's not given a chance, when it's put up to him, and he's a couple of weeks to break down the All-Ireland champions, come up with a plan and go at it. And that's what they did. But the key thing about it is the start. A lot of teams would start in a game and be very dominant but not get the scores on the board. Kilkenny were 1-8, I think, to a point up very early on in that game. And that was the foundation of that, of where that built was, that was, success was built on. But the change in the team, like if you look at the team that played Limerick last year in the quarter final to the team that played the All Ireland semi final this year, there were 6 changes. Like, that's a lot in 1 year. That's over a third of your team that's after changing. So he doesn't be afraid to make changes. There was new blood brought in Hugh Lawler at fullback, who's been solid. Conor Brown has a key role at midfield as to take out their key influencer in the game. Adrian Mullen has been a revelation. John Donnelly has been knocking around the last while, but has brought a consistent level and is hugely influential in that middle third as he drops off as a half forward. So those tweaks, and Colin Finlay and Richie Hogan's return to form has been key as well. So it's almost like that Cork game flipped Kilkenny's year on their head from the point of view of shape, from confidence and the personnel within it.
Can I just ask you, Jackie, you talked about that tactical change. Does that happen on the hoof? Do lads talk about that on the pitch, or does that come from the sideline?
It's very interesting. I look back on it and myself and Derek McGrath were talking one day about it, and you can actually see Conor Fogarty and Pádraig Welsh talking to each other and a hand going out, and likewise with Pádraig Welsh and Paddy Deegan. So there was some sort of a communication there between the two of them. I'm obviously being sitting in the stand, it's very hard to say, but I'd be pretty confident saying that came from lieutenants on the field and Pádraig Welsh and Conor Fogarty. Look at lads, we're being tore asunder here at the back. We're not protecting our full back line. We need to do something about it. And I think that will be key going forward, because if you look back at the 2016 All-Ireland, after 40-odd minutes, Kevin Kelly gets a goal and Kilkenny get a point up. What happened after that? Our half-back line got dragged out the field and Tip ran riot. They put ball into Seamus Cannon, they put ball into Bubbles of the Wire, who were one-on-one with 30, 40 yards of space, and the rest, they say, is history. So I think Kilkenny had hard learnings in those first 12 minutes of that Cork game, and I think they do realise the importance of staying deep and protecting their full back line. But without a doubt, I would say that decision came from the players on the field.
Okay, Tipperary listeners will be getting more and more nervous now the way we're talking of Kilkenny here. So let's talk about Tip for a few minutes. And Vincent, not unlike Kilkenny being written off after the Leinster final, Tip were written off by many after the Munster final.
Yeah, there's a kind of an extraordinary comparison here that, like, Kilkenny conceded 3-17 from play in Nolan Park against Galway, which was their first home championship defeat since 1949. So the historic moment in terms of negativity for Kilkenny that day. Tip's defeat in the Munster final was their worst since the 40s, when a Jack Lynch Cork took them to town. And so, you've kind of got two broken teams here at that stage on June the 30th. You're not looking at either of them really as serious All-Ireland contenders. I was making the point earlier in the year that Tip won their first three round robin games with spectacular hurling, and when they're on full flow, what they did to Cork, what they did in Ennis, what they did against Waterford, they're beautiful to watch. But what Tipperary fans saw in the last 20 minutes against Wexford, I sensed a giddiness in Tip supporters afterwards because they saw something
they're always giddy in Tip.
Well, they're always giddy. But they saw something in Tip that they weren't quite sure was there. And, you know, if anyone who reads Jackie's book will see in very stark terms that Kilkenny would have always believed, certainly with Tip forwards, you can get at them and that you can squeeze them out of it. And for Tip supporters, it mightn't have made pretty reading, but there was a kernel of truth there that people would have believed. Yeah, is the character really there? Can they win dirty? Can they really win a horrible match? And if you take, I think John McGrath's second yellow was in the 45th minute. Lee Chin gets a goal in the 48th minute. From there to the end, Tip won by 12 points to 1-2. 12 scores to 3. And they did it by just digging in and being heroic and just showing that warrior quality. We had Ronan Maher. I just thought he was extraordinary in those last 20 minutes. Noel McGrath, his brother, had been sent off. The intelligence of his deliveries and the bounce that Tip got off the bench. We really weren't sure Tip had a bench going into that game. And I just felt there was an emotion in Tip. I don't think you can overstate the emotion of Tip supporters coming out of that game because they saw something in those players, in the under-21s coming in and standing up and being counted, that they weren't sure was there. And to me, it puts Tip in a great position going into this final because there was a real positivity coming out of there, that they were men, they stood up to it. Jake Morris, Willie Connors, Mark Keogh, all coming in, Ger Brown coming in off the bench, all having important roles. But also the old school guys, the guys that have been there for more than 10 years, the guys that were there in 2010 when they beat Kilkenny, all of them standing up to it. Bubbles coming good in the second half. How did they come good? By pure doggedness, by standing tall, by just standing up to the physicality. Now, I know people can say Wexford maybe didn't help themselves, Mark Fanning going long with puckouts, but it was the physical intensity that a depleted Tip brought to that last 20 minutes. It just filled Tip supporters with hope that this could be the year.
Don Logue, it's unusual. I can't recall a final when, to use Vincent's word, we two broken teams recover so strongly and make a final.
Yeah, like it's intriguing, Des, right? And all at the back of what you know, Vincent's great description there was on the back of failing to win a championship game in 2018. So, like, you have a Tip team coming into 2019, Liam Sheedy coming back in, with having such a poor 2018, and like that resilience that they showed in the semi-final, it was almost like a duel between two warriors. And, you know, the Wexford warrior, it looked as if they had beaten the Tipperary warrior down into the ground. And just when they were there, when the opportunity was there to finish them off, the Tipperary warrior turned around and had this blade in his hand and got up and shoved it into the Wexford warrior's stomach. That was kind of the analogy that I had in my head after that game, because everybody thought that this was Wexford's chance. Like Vincent said, going 5 points up, everything looking good. Now, there was a case of Wexford almost taking a deep breath and saying, do you know what, I think that we have this, right? And it's a fair point around the strategy in the last 15, but that shouldn't be taking anything away from Tipperary. And I think that should give them great confidence, because the one question mark that we always know is there, and the one thing that's maybe thrown out is that, yeah, you can talk about everything that you want, tactics, skill, all of that, but if this comes down to a battle on Sunday, and if Tipperary or if Kilkenny can get you into that almost psychological contract of playing the game the way they want to play it, people would think that that Kilkenny would come out the victors. And logic would say that as well. But I think that semi-final will give Tipperary great courage going into Sunday's game.
Yeah, myself and Vincent were talking earlier about Tipperary's character and how it's been questioned, and I know Vincent feels very strongly that it shouldn't be after that last day. And I suppose I'd agree with him, but it all goes back to a couple of games nearly 10 years ago at this stage, the 2011 final and the 2012 semi-final, when the first one, Tipperary were defending champions and it went badly awry, and obviously Lara Corbett followed Jackie around the pitch and all that sort of thing, and then the wheels completely fell off in 2012 when they got hammered by Kilkenny. But by and large, this Kilkenny team have been at least very competitive with Kilkenny when they were at their absolute peak, and they've beaten them a couple of times. They drew with them 2014, yeah. And they won 2016, you know, so it's a bit lazy, I think, for people to throw out questions about Tipperary's character. Obviously they had a bad year last year, but a lot of teams have
I don't think it was their character. Was it more that have they reached the end of the line was the question, because they didn't have a good chance.
Yeah, but I think there's nobody harder on Tip than Tip people.
Absolutely.
You know, and there was that sense, could they win dirty? And I think when they're pinned up against a wall, like Tip have these glorious forwards particularly, and you've the likes of a Noel McGrath who's just a work of art to watch when he's in full flow. But the question was always being asked, you know, can they win dirty? And I think what you say is very valid, Peter, in that when that great Kilkenny team was at its absolute zenith, it was these Tip players that took the fight to them and eventually beat them in 2010.
Could have beaten them in 2009. And they were brand new practically at that stage.
Absolutely. The 2011 final was very competitive, but it was played probably on Kilkenny's terms and they won it. And then we had that bizarre semi-final in 2012 where Larry was marking Tommy Walsh and it didn't really make much sense. I mean, I can see man-marking a Kilkenny, the key Kilkenny defender, if you like, making sense, but not with your best scorer doing it. And, you know, and I think that really, it triggered a lot of fury in Tip, that it was seen as a bit of a sideshow, and why did we do this and why did we go down that road? But you know, Tip kept coming, and like you look at the 2014, the drawn game, or go down to the 2013 qualifier in Nolan Park, which a lot of the, I was talking to Michael Ryan during the week, he said there was an edginess that night. And again, it goes back to the idea of Kilkenny losing a home record that stretched back to the 40s against Tip mm-hmm. in Nolan Park. That was a great evening.
That was one of my favourite evenings.
And you all remember when it was announced that Henry Shefflin was on the bench and the place, the electricity that went through the place. But then the following year, that All-Ireland final, Tip were extraordinary in that All-Ireland final, and they couldn't put Kilkenny away in the replay. Cody makes sure that it's played on Kilkenny's terms, and you have the likes of Kieran Joyce, who wasn't getting a look in. He comes back, plays centre-back, and is man of the match. That's a typical Cody thing. If you get a second chance at them, you're not going to beat them.
Well, Jackie Tyrrell, given, I mean, you have spoken about the joy for Kilkenny fans of these youngsters coming through and proving themselves. But does the experience of the Tip side make you nervous? You know, the Mars who played in 2010, Seamus Callanan, you know, Noel McGrath. Talk about that, the experience versus the youth.
Yeah, well, I suppose a bit tainted, Des, in a small bit. Like, if you look at that Kilkenny team, you still have Owen Murphy, you still have Paul Murphy, you still have Conor Fogarty, TJ Reid, Richie Hogan, Walter Welsh. Like, those guys have, some of them have seven All-Ireland medals, some have five or six.
Very inexperienced team.
Good point you
make.
There's
a huge experience there also for Kilkenny to tap in. But I understand your point in that the new guys are there, and Kilkenny would have a lot of kind of rookies compared to Tipperary, who are very experienced, who have been down this road also. So I think it's about managing those guys this week, you know, with the experienced lads having a word with TJ, having a word with Adrian Mullen this week, Owen Murphy talking to Hugh Lawler in front of him, and literally guiding them through the week and what's expected. And on Ireland final day, it's different. You run out earlier, you have to meet the president, all those bits and pieces, the demand for tickets, and that's the Kilkenny way. It won't be a big hullabaloo. It'll be just certain lads will have certain words with the lads saying, look, this will be a bit different, but essentially it's about you having a laser eye focus for half three Sunday, that when the ball is thrown in, you're bringing war to it, and that will be the Kilkenny way. But it's interesting talking about the rivalry and Tipperary, how competitive and how they used to bring it to us. If you look at from the 2009 All-Ireland, every All-Ireland we met after that up to 2016, the actual average of the winning margins, Tipperary are ahead by a point. So it just shows how close it is, and how on numerous times I would think of 2009, I felt Tipperary possibly were the better team that day. 2014, the first day, definitely felt Tipperary were the better team that day. They didn't get over the line, but they put us to the pin of our collar so many times. And I think that margin just shows how close these two teams are.
Okay, Don Logue, can I ask you a question about Jackie's reference there to young guys need to know to, you know, bring war to the game, etc. The thing that fascinates me most in any sport is where a team plays with huge ferocity, like, say, Kilkenny did in the semi-final, and like Cork teams would have done that you were on. And then in the build-up to the next match, you're all, let's repeat that, let's do that again, lads, let's bring that. And so often a team cannot bring that level of ferocity a second time. How can that be managed? Or, I mean, I haven't a clue, but you've been in the dressing rooms where teams are trying to say, come on, let's tear into them at the start, and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, look, that's kind of the million-dollar question in a big aspect of sport, that whole psychological approach and how do you ensure that your players are at the peak, both physically and psychologically. And like, all you can do is prepare. Preparation is the key there. But you'll never, ever be sure, Des, until the ball is thrown in, you know, how ready the team is. You take Limerick in the semi-final, right? And, you know, Limerick have gotten huge plaudits for all aspects of their approach to the game over the last couple of years. But there was something missing in the Limerick psyche. No, I'm not taking that from Kilkenny, right? Maybe Kilkenny didn't allow them bring it to the table, but they definitely didn't bring their A game to the start of that game. And you can be sure Limerick would have ticked all of the boxes. But it is hard. It is hard to, especially in an amateur game, like, you have these players, you have them inside in a training environment. They'll train a couple of times this week, but so much of the rest of their week is spent out in the public domain, whether they're maybe going to work, even their families. Like, you know, I always know that even if a team is say, for example, if a team is favourites, right, and they're favourites for the game that you're going into, and you keep hammering home, look, lads, we might be favourites, but we know what the other team is going to bring. It's impossible to shield the players when they do go into those environments. And the danger is that it does get in there, Des, and I suppose, look, that's why the best teams are the best teams, in that they can consistently bring that peak performance physically and psychologically to the games.
Yeah, Peter, before we look at where the Kilkenny tip match will be won and lost in the view of our guests, there is that nagging notion, certainly in Limerick, that the best team in Ireland is not in the final.
Certainly that'd be my view, and I suppose it's a bit unfair to bring it up when there are two other teams in the All-Ireland final. They're thereby right. But, you know, in the nature of a knockout competition, is you don't necessarily get the best. The best team doesn't necessarily win it. The best team doesn't necessarily get to the final. It occasionally happens, say, in 2014 in the football, Mayo and Dublin were probably the two best teams in the country, and they didn't get to the final that year, and Kerry are champions, and that's the end of it. But Limerick, since winning the All-Ireland, I suppose since the All-Ireland semi-final of last year, they were so impressive. They knocked off the league without a lot of trouble. They hammered Tipperary in a Munster final by I think it was 12 points. They looked really set to have a little era of dominance of their own. And then, just like Don Logue was talking about there, that intensity. And it caught them. It was, they were 1-7-2 down after 13 minutes, but after that, they won the game 2-15-14. But that doesn't matter, because that first 13 minutes caught them. I don't think they'll ever get caught like that again. I'd be fairly confident that they will come back and win further All-Irelands. I think they're too talented not to, but, you know, we probably said the same thing about Clare in 2013, and they haven't backed it up since. Yeah, but
I think it's almost perverse that we're looking back at that semi-final and Limerick seemed to be startled by Kilkenny's physicality. I mean, how long have we been watching Cody's Kilkenny? And I agree totally with Don Logue that you just don't know from one day to the next. You think you've every box ticked, but something can slip into the subconscious. And I suspect that's what happened with this Limerick team, because not alone did they win the Munster final by 12 points, but for an extraordinary performance by goalkeeper Brian Hogan, they could have doubled that margin. So it's human nature that you start to think, we have this sussed. We're Munster champions, we're league champions, we're All-Ireland champions, we're playing a brand of hurling that everybody's raving about. And next thing, you have that image of Tom Morrissey coming out on one of these little shuttle runs with the ball, and he's hit by about four different men, and the ball goes to ground. Adrian Mullen puts it over the bar,
And suddenly Limerick are looking at each other. What's going on here? This is almost lawless hurling, and we're not able for it. And I think after 14 minutes, it was 1-8 to 2 points. And that was the problem. They did come back. They were heroic the way they came back.
Could have got a draw out of it, indeed.
Absolutely. And I do think one thing that has been obscured by Kilkenny's win, one of the great goals by Shane Dowling, that finish by Shane Dowling, which kept Limerick right there to the death. I think because Kilkenny won, it's been overlooked. But I just thought that finish was one of the greatest finishes I've ever seen in Croke Park.
And I suppose it's interesting as well, if you look back on 2000, Brian Cody's first All-Ireland win, there was kind of an expectation that they'd go on and win a couple more All-Irelands. They certainly did, but they were upset the following year by Galway, wasn't it, in the semi-final?
Oh, the 0-1, yeah.
Yeah. And then Tipperary in 2010, they looked so good. Their under-21s won the All-Ireland 6 days later down in Thurles. They hammered Galway. It was an unbelievable occasion. There was the expectation that them as a young team would go on and dominate. They won a couple of more All-Irelands, but they didn't retain one. So maybe Limerick are the best team in the country, but they had to get this setback to come back and maybe have a little think about it and then have their own era of dominance.
Okay, well we'll follow that next. Let's stick with them with this week's final, and we're going to talk about key areas. And Jackie, you mentioned his leadership before, Pádraic Walsh's role at centre back.
Yeah, Pádraic, he's so key to this team, and this is a guy that's in the very first round robin game started midfield against Dublin, has played full back last year. Possibly his most comfortable position is right half back. He plays centre forward for his club. He's just an all-rounder. When he first came in with Kilkenny, he's a natural forward, but he's one of those rare lads that possesses huge defensive instincts. If you look at the way he plays centre back, he's able to get forward and chip in with a score, but now his primary focus is minding that D, is minding the house with Hugh Lawler and providing a real solidarity to that half back line and the heart of that Kilkenny defence. You know, like Kyle Hayes has been rampant this year, no one has been able to touch him physically or hurling wise, and Pádraic just completely dominated him for most of that game in the All-Ireland semi-final. But if you look at what Pádraic Walsh does to this Kilkenny team, I go back to the 2014 All-Ireland replay when Seamus Callan gets the ball and is bearing down on goal and JJ is literally hanging in by a thread behind him and gets an unbelievable hook. Not many people remember what happens after that, and this is what Pádraic Walsh is. Pádraic Walsh started right half back. When Seamus Callan took off, Pádraic just took off with him. He was 20, 30 yards away from him, kept going. And if Pádraic Walsh didn't do what he did next, Seamus Callan scores a goal, because when the ball is hooked, it breaks. Seamus Callan is winding up for another pull 4 or 5 yards out in front of Owen Murphy. Pádraic Walsh just comes from nowhere, gets the second hook. Owen Murphy collects the ball and Kilkenny go down the field. Everyone remembers JJ's hook, but if you go back and look at where Pádraic Walsh comes from, the desire to get back, he knew in his heart and hearts he's not going to get to Seamus Callan, but he thought something could happen. It could hit the post. JJ could get a hook. He could drop the ball and I'll be there for the team. And he does that. He doesn't run 9 out of 10 times. He runs 10 out of 10 times on the small, minute possibility that I'll be there for my defence. I'll get back. I'll get a flick. I'll put a lad off. And that's Pádraic Walsh. He's brilliant going forward, but he's just as good going back. A real leader in this team. And I would have never thought he would have been a centre-back. I would have thought he'd been a wing-back midfield. But he's been a revelation since he's gone to centre-back. And we spoke about Brian Cody needs to get Pádraic out full-back into the half-back line, maybe midfield, to push this team forward. He's done that this year, and look at the result of him. Kilkenny go from losing an All-Ireland quarter-final to being in an All-Ireland final. I know there's other aspects to it, but do not underestimate the role that Pádraic Walsh has in this Kilkenny team.
And he's only the third best hurler in the family.
Yeah, those games out the back. I've heard stories about
Well, Peter, go on.
I suppose it'll be interesting to see whether Pádraic Walsh spends more of his time as a kind of a free man, or a spare defender, or whether he's actually marking a Tipperary
player. Well, this is the funny thing, because the word, that dirty word sweeper that we're not allowed to use anymore,
spare man.
I think there's no doubt where he'll play on Sunday. He'll play on the D, and he'll protect Hugh Lawler against Jamie Callanan. And if you think Hugh Lawler has had a great debut season, probably was second choice. I think Conor Delaney would have been there if he hadn't got injured. It seemed that Cody was going in that direction. But Lawler has had such a baptism of fire. I mean, Aaron Gillan, Patrick Horgan, Conor McDonald, and now Seamus Callanan. And this idea that Kilkenny don't do tactics. What Jackie was describing there earlier about the Cork game, and where the half-backs come back, the midfield comes back, the half-forwards come back. We've been having that conversation for 10 years. And it's just this thing of congesting the puck-out zone and making sure that it's an attritional area. And when it's an attritional area, there's no team better than Kilkenny to win it. I think you'll see, look, Kilkenny people would love two or three Pádraig Walshes in that team. As Jackie says, number five, probably his ideal position where he can dominate a game. But I think needs must on Sunday. They need to protect Hugh Lawler against Seamus Callanan, and I think you'll see Pádraig Walsh on the D.
Yeah, I suppose Brian Cody is pragmatic. JJ Delaney spent his best years probably at fullback.
Absolutely.
When, you know, he was the
greatest wing back maybe ever.
Exactly.
All right, well, Don Logue, I mean, you love studying the game and key areas, and you've looked at some of them. So take us through what you see as the key areas for this final.
Yeah, this. So I've a good friend, right, and he constantly, we often talk about hurling, and he always asks these three questions before a game, and you know, the might be a bit crude or heuristic, but I tell you, there's a lot in it, and the three questions he'll always say to you are: have we a top class goalkeeper? Have we a top class free taker? And have we a top class manager going into the games? And like, if you look at even taking those questions in terms of goalkeeping, Owen Murphy, I think, is the benchmark for the modern day keeper. Outstanding shot stopper, but a top class hurler as well. I know he plays out the field for his club, but like, what he brings to the game is that all round ability of a goalkeeper, and I think that's if you like, he now is setting the framework for the goalkeeper of the future. But on the opposite side, Brian Hogan has done really well, right? Those saves Vincent referred to in the Munster final were outstanding. I like the way he seems in control. I like the way he takes his time before puck outs. I like the bravery that he has with puck outs, that he'll go for it. Maybe in the semi final he was disappointed with the goals that he conceded. From my point of view, I think they were more a psychological thing than even a technical aspect, but that's another day's work, and I think with experience he'll manage that better. But if you were to really call it, you'd just give that whisker to Kilkenny there. In terms of the free taker, like TJ Reid, everybody talks about that first quarter and the amount of the return that Kilkenny got in that first quarter against Limerick, but I wouldn't underestimate TJ's first couple of frees there in terms of that, I suppose, that invisible momentum and psychology, if you like, that's going on in the field. His first couple of frees were critical in terms of setting the tone for Kilkenny that day. And I think, like, he's gotten 261, I think, this year from frees. Like, and that's 9.5 points in every game. If you compare that to, like, Tip of a couple of good free takers, Ford is obviously has hit the majority. Callanan can hit him also. But I just think, again, there you just have to give that slight whisker. And then the managers, we spoke about those. Both have done extremely well for different reasons. So, like, if you were to use that analysis, Des, right, you'd be just by a whisker would be saying that Kilkenny are edging it in those areas. But as we know, there are so many different aspects to an All-Ireland final. And it's very often, and you hear this every year, it's almost become a cliche, but it is true also. It's someone pops up from where you don't expect and becomes the hero of the game.
Yeah, Walter Walsh was one of those, wasn't he, Jackie?
Yeah, he was. In 2012, he literally wasn't on the panel for the semi-final, was brought in for training 3 to 4 weeks for the All-Ireland. He actually spent a lot of time marking me and gave me a few clippings and threw me around like
obviously
a rag doll. And,
he got picked.
I'd say he got a few back.
Well, I tried to help hold me on, but Wally's a big unit, all right. And, you know, he came from nowhere, man of the match. you talk at Taggy Fogarty and Aidan Fogarty in 2006, relatively unknown, 1-3, man of the match. Vincent has spoken about Kieran Joyce coming in from the cold, really, in the All-Ireland semi-final 2014, man of the match. Pádraic Welsh actually came in that day. He'd been playing in the forwards all that year. His Parrish shooted in at wing back as well, gave him an awesome display as well. So there, Brian Cody does like to bring these lads in from the unknown, you know. And I don't know if he'll do it the weekend, but like if you're looking at maybe the likes of a Gerard Elward, who hasn't seen much game time from earlier on in the year, he potentially mightn't start, but could be one to come in early. I know Bill Sheen is carrying a bit of a knock, a bit of a hamstring problem. So you just never know what Brian Cody. He likes to keep lads on their toes. He likes to keep the opposition guessing. And he could do something like that the weekend.
Well, those examples.
And the days you're mentioning Walter Walsh there, like in terms of like that, I think if he is, it looks like he could be marking Pádraic Maher, and I can imagine there were fairly titanic battles between Jackie and Walter. But like in terms of people looking for matchups, if that's the case for some or a lot of the game on Sunday, that's some battle that people can look forward to. And then like you've got Hugh Lawler versus Seamus Callanan, like we already spoke about there. But you know, how do it's a question we're always asking, how is the team going to manage TJ Reid? Brendan Maher has really shown his man marking ability, if you like, this year more than any that I can remember. And you know, would Tipperary go with Brendan Maher on TJ? And I think like one of the almost unsung heroes for Kilkenny has been Colin Finnelly. Like his goals in the quarter final and the semi final were critical, and he just reminds me of a fella that he doesn't have everything that maybe he possessed in his younger days, but he's absolutely maximising what he has currently, because both of those goals were very similar in the way he picked up the ball about 20 yards out from goals, only had one thing on his mind and knew that the most efficient way to get that ball into the net and save himself the risk of being hooked and a JJ type versus Seamus Callanan incident happening, the way he batted those balls into the net, he'd only one thing in his mind. And I think that moment that he can bring to the game is a huge thing for Tipperary on Sunday to try and mitigate against that. And they have question marks over how they're going to do that. Is it going to be a Barry Heffernan? Are they going to go for a James Barry? Or even go for a Ronan Maher? So all of those are, like, you're looking forward to a game on Sunday, Des. Those battles are only going to add to it.
Yeah, what about that full back line?
Yeah, I think Don Loga's on the money there. This is the huge question for Liam Sheedy. I think if you look at the semi-final, because Wexford are so innovative the way they play, and there's no real identifiable structure to their forward line, Tip picked Shamie Kennedy to pick up Jack O'Connor. They picked up Barry Heffernan to pick up Lee Chin. But it wasn't an orthodox structure of a defence. This time they have a big decision to make. And I think the biggest decision is who's going to mark Colin Fennelly. I think he's playing out of his skin. He has this bull strength. If he gets the ball in his hand, there's a huge goal threat there. And I suspect it'll be Barry Heffernan, who really had probably his best game ever for Tip in the semi-final. He came in at short notice in Ennis in the round robin game, and Mark John Conlon did a very good job there. I think he's showing Liam Sheedy more than people thought he might have had. And there's a physicality and an athleticism to Heffernan, whose confidence is right up. I think that'll be the decision. I think Pádraic Maher will probably go on Walter Walsh, who's a huge threat, obviously, from puck outs and that. And look, TJ Reid, I'm not sure you can man mark TJ Reid. Brendan Maher will probably go on him. But you saw what the problems Limerick had. You're trying to actually mark the area around TJ Reid. They ended up, Limerick, bringing back Kyle Hayes to try and do it. Now, Kyle played centre-back at Minor, so it wasn't anything outrageous. But there's only so much you can do against TJ. I mean, even as a Tip man, I think TJ is already the Hurler of the Year. I think what he has done has been beyond extraordinary this year. If Shamie Callanan has a huge final, he could win it, and it'd be great. Shamie's 7 goals in 7 games and hopefully an 8-8. But the big question for me is the edge of the square, what Tip do on Colin Fennelly?
I wonder, Peter, Vincent mentioned Pádraic Walsh playing on the D. Does that give an opponent, a Tip man, a chance to go into space and take advantage of that?
It does, yeah. And the Tipperary have exceptional forwards, but they've conceded pretty big scores all year. If you look at it, 124, they were brilliant against Cork in the first day. They still conceded 124, 226 against Limerick the second day in the Munster final, even 118 against Leash and 320 beating Wexford. Like, they're big totals, and if you concede anything like that against Kilkenny, you're going to lose. So yeah, they have to do something. There will be man for man, but if they will, it's hurling now. It Gaelic games. You flood, as Vincent said, you flood the puck out them. But not alone that, you get bodies behind the ball at all times. TJ Reid, Colin Fenley, as you say, when they get the ball in their hands, they're virtually unstoppable. So two things you have to do is stop them getting the ball in their hand, and then get bodies around them when they do have the ball in the hand and stop them going forward. Like, because TJ has been absolutely extraordinary. He's hardly scored from play in the last couple of games, which is, and we're still talking about him as hurler of the year, which is remarkable for a forward. But it just shows you what he brings to a game and how much he brings. Well, he draws fouls and he scores them, and then how he brings other players into it. But yeah, I expect both defensive halves of the field to be extraordinarily congested and very attritional. It's going to be a very, very physical game.
Okay, then let's get the verdict of Jackie Tyrrell then.
Yeah, there's one of the things that probably we haven't mentioned, and I think will be hugely important and influential. If you look at Norm McGrath and his quality of distribution that he gives into this Tipperary forward line, like, there's no point having loads of space and Seamus Canlan and maybe John McGrath inside and a high ball being lumped in on top of him, because Hugh Lawler is excellent in the air, and by the time the ball drops on the square, Pádraig Welsh is going to be back to hoover up. They need quick ball delivered in like they did in 2016, and you see the havoc that they cause. Noel McGrath is key in that. But from a Kilkenny point of view, what they've done with Conor Brown, and he's been detailed on Dara Fitzgibbon against Cork, Keane Lynch the last day, and he limited their influence. And I fully expect Conor Brown to pick up Noel McGrath the weekend, and with one instruction: Conor, get in his face, turn him over, put him pressure on, put him on the back foot hitting ball in, don't allow him to plant his foot, and pick Seamus Canlan and Bubbles and John McGrath out. If Conor Brown can do that, that will be a huge carrot for Kilkenny. I think he will, and I think in TJ Reid we have a real match winner. Not from the point of view of his scores, of course you have that, but you've seen against Cork, you've seen against Limerick where he didn't contribute hugely from play, but he still made things happen. He still won frees. He still drew huge attention from the opposition defence, which allowed space for Colin Fenney inside, for Richie Hogan, for John Donnelly, and for, more importantly, Adrian Mullen. And those guys all contributed with the attention that TJ drew from him. I think those things could be crucial the weekend, and I would just think Kilkenny, just if this goes into the trenches, there's only going to be one winner, and I think that's the way it's going to go. So it's a Kilkenny for me, Des.
Vincent Hogan, Jackie says Tip aren't tough enough.
Well, you see, it's almost a cliche, if this goes into the trenches, Kilkenny win. I actually would challenge that. I think the one team that has gone into the trenches with Kilkenny over the years has been Tip, and particularly this group of Tip players. And I think the energy they've taken from the semi-final will give them huge hope. What we haven't mentioned here is that the big, big loss for Tip is Bonner Maher. I think Bonner Maher would be to the manor born for this contest, and he would really, like, that the day in Ennis when they hammered Clare, and he was just unplayable. He was right back to his best. So he's a huge loss. But they have two real workhorses in Niall O'Mara and Dan McCormack. We all talk about the splashy, beautiful hurling that the Tip forwards can produce. But those two guys, their work rate will be absolutely vital this week. I just think it's become such a cliche that if it's a war, Kilkenny will win. I'm not sure. We know it's going to be a war, because that's inevitable. The middle third is going to be extraordinary. It's not going to be a surprise to Tip that it is, and I just think they've found something in themselves in the last 20 minutes against Wexford. I think they'll win.
Peter Sweeney?
Yeah, I think Tipperary will win. Don't think they'll win by much, but Kilkenny are a fantastic team, that no doubt about it, but I don't think we expected them to be here. I think they maybe even have slightly overachieved this year, and I just think Tipperary, I know Jackie referred to all the All-Ireland medals Kilkenny have, but I just think Tipperary have a little bit more experience. I think they've probably got better individual forwards, and I think that'll just squeeze them over the line.
And the final word to Donal O'Cusick.
I think in 2010 it was 8 points, Des. In 2016 it was 9 points. So I'm going to give you a headline there. Not, right? Don't think it's going to be 10 points, right? But I do think it's going to be a Tip victory. There's magic in those Tip forwards, in their wrists, right? And when I mean, when I talk about magic, I talk about the type of goals that they can score, the type of combination, the type of goal that came from Seamus Kenlon when he was going away from goals and the ball was on the ground. Now, I know he says the ball hopped up nicely for him, but, you know, get any of us who are talking here to go and try and repeat that, right? But there's magic in those players' wrists. If we see that on Sunday and a couple of those type of goals, I think Tipperary will win. But if Kilkenny do get Tipperary to play the game and play the game on their terms, as Vincent was saying, I do think that the questions that my good friend was asking could come out with Kilkenny by a whisker.
All right, you kind of went for both teams there, but I think you're kind of taking it. I'm putting you down for a tip, which would make it three. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'm going for a tip, Des, but that's the logical conclusion. But again, we know Kilkenny are well able to defy logic.
They certainly are. A good way of summing it up. Well, look, it's a very insightful reflection and look ahead to the final. So thank you very much to, as usual, Peter Sweeney, to Donald O'Cusick, Jackie Tyrrell and Vincent Hogan. Enjoy the final, wherever you're watching it, wherever you're from. We'll have full coverage here on all platforms on RT Sport. Until next week, bye-bye.